So my buddy from Holland called. He does a morning show. And we've done so many things together. He said, let's just talk about Prince like the way we used to play it on the radio. So okay, I'll do that. And so I was telling Tina, and I said, yeah, but I've said no to all these a-holes, all this new stuff. I don't want to talk to this. Who wants to do that? But I'll do my buddy Jeroen's show, you know, because I've got a Prince story. She turns around and looks at me and she says, oh my God, don't tell me Patricia had sex with him.
What?
Don't you remember her thing about David Bowie?
She
said, please tell me that's not the story.
Tina was so psychic, or what was this?
No. Move on. If the punchline falls flat, we leave it.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Anyway, so I do have one Prince story, if you're interested. I figured we'd share one with the No Agenda audience. One. And this relates to, I think it was 1991, and I was in Minneapolis. And I sent you the link for this earlier, John. It was probably one of the, I've only done three commercials for real products back in the heyday when I was Mr. MTV guy. And one of them was for Sam Goody Musicland, which, you know, no longer exists. Does it exist anymore? No, it's gone, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's gone.
Yeah. And the
like
big
Tower Records.
Yeah, and the biggest store is at Mall of America, which of course is in Minneapolis.
Oh, I didn't know that was not the biggest stores in Manhattan.
At the time, that's where it was going to be done. The store was huge. And so put together kind of like a Spinal Tap where I'm pretending to be on a tour, some fantastic tour. And then, you know how all these commercials, they always have to have a slide so you can put the current offers on it. And so with almost like a completely different voice in the commercial, you hear blank, like the Bengals, Milli Vanilli. You know, like all these great people I'm on tour with, but it's really, it's the Sam Goody Musicland tour. And, you know, I'm going around, running around backstage and kind of like Spinal Tap. Like, this is the best concert I've ever been on. And then I go to the stage, open the doors. And then of course I open into the store. And that's the stage or something.
How creative.
It's in the show notes and it's one of the lamest things you've ever seen. It fits perfectly.
It paid.
Not very much, but it was a buyout, maybe $5,000, maybe. It was, you know, not a good deal, but back in the day. Anyway, so I was there for 3 or 4 days. And the second night, it's about a quarter to midnight. I'm in the hotel. And you know, it was a professional shoot. We had, you know, everything was really well done, a nice hotel room. And the phone rings at 11:45. I pick it up. It's like, yeah, hello. Is this Adam Curry? Yeah. Prince wants to know if you want to come to a party at his house tonight. And I say, let me think about it. Yeah. And he says, good, because the car's downstairs waiting for you when you are. I'm like, this is classy. Cool. And this, you know, this is 91. What was I? I was in late 20s. And so, holy shit. Sure enough, there's a car, you know, black town car downstairs. And the guy's just no word spoken. Just get in, takes me off. And then, you know, we go towards what people have now seen on the news along the highway. There's Paisley Park and it's all lit up in purple. And it's, you know, drive up to the gate. The gate opens. And go in, and there's metal detectors, which in 91, metal detectors at the airport was, you know, kind of like throw your keys down, you know, your shoes would never go off or anything like that. So it wasn't all that, you know, like, but it was odd. You never saw metal detectors anywhere else except at the airport back in those days. So go into this completely white room. Everything's white, and the lighting's a bit dim, but it's just all you see is white. There's no real color. It's a rectangle. So on one side, like the short side of the room, there's a DJ standing, you know, kind of on built up ironworks. You know, it's kind of like scaffolding, and he's playing some Prince tracks I've never heard in my life before. Along the long side of the room, there's a buffet from end to end, and it's nothing but fresh fruit and, you know, juices. There's no alcohol, no anything else. All just fresh ice sculptures, dripping stuff, and wall to wall beautiful people, maybe 70 or 80 people. And this is what heaven's like, obviously. Yeah, there's beautiful people, healthy food,
Minnesota,
and it's in Minnesota. Who knew? And I saw that there was one or two of the extras from the commercial. Of course, we're all beautiful from the commercial shoot. Were there. was like, hey, how you guys doing? Yeah. So hanging out. And Prince was standing over next to the DJ, kind of hanging out just off to the side by himself. I said, oh, I'm going to go over and thank him for the party. And they went, no, you can't do that. You can't do this. What are you talking about? No. It's you're too tall and you're too white. I'm like, are you kidding me? This was really the perception. Oh, you really shouldn't go talk to him at all. I'm like, fuck that. I go over and I say, hey, I'm Adam. Thanks for inviting me. It's very cool. He says, hey, yeah, good you came. And I love the thing you did on Halloween with your daughter. That was fantastic. I really loved how you scared her, but she was kind of having fun. But he had seen everything. And observation, he didn't come across as timid or shy. Sure, he was wearing boots, but he also didn't come across as like some miniature man. Just seemed pretty normal. Yeah, and then I really didn't have much left to say. I was like, hey, man, well, all right, well, thanks. Said, yeah, and he, you know, enjoy. That was it. And then maybe an hour or so later, 2 a.m., the party's over, which is signified by Prince's guys coming through the this room, saying nothing, just kind of walking slowly amongst everybody, flashing their flashlights on the ground. And that was the signal to leave. And everyone just kind of flows out. And the car was still there waiting for me, took me back. And that,
so
was,
that was his little private concert hall he had in there?
Yeah.
How big was it?
It was really high. So it was, I'd say it would be like the size of an aircraft hangar for, but not, for more like a Gulfstream, not for a 7 Series anything, but really high. So about that size and the so same type of vibe.
Compared to a high school gym?
3/4 that size.
Of a high school gym?
Yeah.
So it was a medium-sized little hall. That's cool.
Yeah, it wasn't any huge one by any means.
Yeah.
And there was this other time that I stayed at Dan Hart. Remember Dan Hartman? Do you remember him?
No.
He had Relight My Fire, I Can Dream About You. You don't remember?
No.
Oh, how about Edgar Winter, Free Ride? You remember that?
Of course.
Okay, so he played bass.
He used to play in the city a lot.
And Dan played bass for them. So I was staying at his house one time in Connecticut. A friend of mine was recording at his studio at home, which back in like the early 90s was, you had an SSL studio at your house. That was crazy. But he had bought this with the studio from someone else.
What's SSL mean?
Solid State Logic. Those were the big, the 24, 48 track mixers before we got into real full digital, but these were solid state. And that was a big deal back in the day. And he said, I bought this place, and then above the studio in the attic, I found all these boxes, and somehow these are all masters, Prince masters of him in the studio, but not mixed. It was just the 24 track tapes. It was unbelievable. I'll put it on. He listened to it. It was unbelievable. You hear Prince, setting his own mic, setting his own levels. It was mind-boggling how good and shit you never heard before or have ever heard again, I guess. Who knows what will come out
that's,
now.